Good morning. My name is Michael McCusker. It might seem several lifetimes ago, but we humanoid dwellers on planet Earth entered a new millennium of our own reckoning only 19 years ago, although it already seems an eternity past. Not only a new year, today might be the origin of a new epoch, which will Mother Goose, Humpty Trumpty, perched on a fairy tale wall. I'd like to start the program with something I wrote. I call it Auld Lang Synchrosity. With a quote by Nicholas Montserrat, the living were only curious survivors of a vanished age. 2019. By the time most of us are able to write it without a slight cognitive hesitation, it will simply be just 2019. Already this newborn year is being dismissed as irrelevant, merely a mote of time to endure until the entirely more significant year 2020 arrives, which in politically optic terms has already started. The velocity of 2020's approach is no longer as imperceptible as the daily sluggish crawl of the sun toward the northern hemisphere. We Yankee Doodlers up here at the 45th parallel are probably already preoccupied with 2020, drawn by its magnetic pull upon the Americana melting pot, although beyond its refraction, our 2020 vision is opaque. The beginning of a year is often enveloped in gloom, a foreboding that not so far up the timeline we furtively glimpse death, a debt we must all pay, to quote Euripides. The great William Hogarth satirized the common dread with an engraving of Old Father Time, skinny, bearded, and naked with bony wings arching out of his back, sitting in front of a large painting on an easel, one hand grasping his scythe, the other a long, thin pipe, his chair a headless, nude corpse, captioned, "Time Smoking a Picture." Death is generally not a major daily concern for most hominoles. We slip through days, weeks, even months, oblivious of the inevitable end of our lives. Most of us think in a much narrower scope, such as the rapid evaporation of annual New Year vows and determined illusions of remaking ourselves. By February, most of us are probably the same fallen angels we were the previous November. Short-sighted with short-term objectives, which is just as well. Honest and courageous appraisal of personal death does not win reprieve from it. Our famous Oregon rain, which keeps alive the living and regenerates the dead, provides reflection, particularly during winter when trees taunt us with their skeletal barrenness and gray is the brightest color. Pontifications on the coming year are eased by brain sleep beside cozy fires and the dreamlike preference for dreams. Mostly out of sight of warm homebodies are people who are poor and homeless, who drag through wet, cold streets, and who are able to stand still or sit for about as long as a fly. Prosperity is promised. It is always promised, and always as a divine right. But the public wealth is transferred from those who need it to those who have too much of it. Greed fuels the same reckless pell-mell rush to disaster as the nuclear arms race that is being restarted. War looms as always, as do the other riders of the purple apocalypse, hunger, disease, and death from all these horrors and their dismal prospects. The danger of our malleable materialism as a sanctum sanitarium is that we delusionarily allow swinish hypocrites to govern the asylum. What will 2019 be like? What splendid achievement or horrified shudder might it add to history? Perhaps the most ardent desire for 2019 is that we personally and collectively live through it. A t-shirt worn by a middle-aged man at a Tanglewood music festival some years back might sum up all our wishful yearning. It's never too late to have a happy childhood. The best thing about the future, Abraham Lincoln said, is that it comes one day at a time. And now, by Rob Sawyer, The Futures Foundation. Happy New Year, yeah. For who? Certainly not the disillusioned. Nothing has changed for the hungry, homeless, and helpless. Our children's futures hold less promise this year than ever before, but we do not care enough as a whole to leave them a legacy they can live with. We pride ourselves with being human and act in a manner that makes even the most vicious animals seem kind by comparison. We have taken some steps in the right direction, but overall we may as well be walking backwards. The human rights organization, Amnesty International, reports that more than a third of the world's governments have used or tolerated torture or ill treatment of prisoners. Governments can only abuse their ability to govern if the people they govern allow them to do so. Amnesty International has attempted to expose and stop the use of torture with much success. Still, most of us continue to remain ignorant of this sad fact. The Global 2000 study, conducted during the Carter administration, stated that if present trends continue, the world in 2000 will be more crowded, more polluted, less stable ecologically, and more vulnerable to disruption than the world we live in now. So what do you think 2025 will be like? Even if a person has time to consider such things when not preoccupied with the trappings of materialism, she, he may feel that nothing can change things. So why try? Think about that the next time you look into a child's eyes. We do not have to spend our time mesmerized by primetime television and worrying about our images. Granted, the task of creating a better world is not a pleasant one, but are we really so self-centered that we will abandon hope for the future? We cannot continue to lay the foundation of hell and expect to be received in heaven. The United States had a president who felt compassion, looked toward the future, and cared about people. We thought he was too weak-kneed, so we elected a tough guy who believes you can make and maintain peace by holding guns to people's heads. If the Statue of Liberty could express emotion, her tears might help balance the scales for justice. But anyone who believes there is justice in this or any other country has led a very sheltered life. Ask any sociologist how much justice there is. She, he will likely tell you that there is very little. You do not see kids born with silver spoons in their mouths sitting in the cages we have built for the less fortunate. If history repeats itself, those silver spoons may soon be molded into guillotines. Let's hope not. We should somehow be able to transcend conflict. After all, we are a nation of Christians, aren't we? Hell no. We are a nation of materialists pretending we have ethics. As long as our own niche is secure, we are happy. Collectively, though, we are walking down a corridor that leads straight to a hell of our own making. Education is the key that can unlock the door to a brighter future. But what have we done with our learning institutions? We have put them into the service of faceless monsters called corporations. Our schools do not foster the free thinking that is characteristic of great minds. Instead, they teach our youth to conform to standards set by men who will utilize their minds for one objective, profit. Why must people walk down lines drawn by the men in the gray uniforms we call business suits? Because if an individual refuses to conform to their standard, they will make certain she, he starves. Then if she, he steals something to eat, she, he will be locked up with other malcontents who question or defy authority. If we could somehow take our learning institutions back and allow our children to think in a creative fashion, maybe our kids could begin laying the foundation of a better world for themselves and their own children. It is going to be tough to put reins on corporations now that they are global. But if we do not stop the corporations from becoming the governing forces they are evolving into, then the class divisions will continue to become more and more distinct until most of us are nothing more than proletarians. Sound familiar? People know what is right and what is wrong. That is why we possess a conscience. Religion is a product of our collective conscience that tries to more clearly define the boundary between right and wrong. Living in the modern world, it is often difficult to clearly distinguish right from wrong. Still, we should be able to see that all of humanity's killing and brutality has not brought us any closer to utopia. We should also know that our individual selfishness often creates another's sorrows. It may be hard to do what is right, but if we don't, then the consequences will be harder still for all of us. And that was the Futures Foundation by Rob Sawyer, who used to live in Seaside. And now, The World is Real by Augustus. A million memories as many mile away. Wasn't it moments ago that we were children, seeking the acceptance of our peers and elders, wishfully dreaming of the future that would hold the privileges of maturity? We knew we would learn from the mistakes that brought criticism and a sense of rejection. There would be freedom from schools and passage into lifelong pursuits in an adult world. Looking back, it seems like a travesty of justice that childhood illusions never materialize. If our youth were here to live again, how many of us would live with those old delusions and let them detract from the closest thing to freedom we will ever know? But now those times have faded into a new reality where the only certainty is past. We are living in a world that adults try to hide from children. What happened to create a society where courts try to determine the state of mind of people who slaughter children on school grounds and commit crimes no sane person could conceive? As common as these mad crimes have become, a person wonders if it isn't our culture that has gone mad. In fact, there are those among us who have little doubt that sound minds are becoming fewer. Perhaps the sad thing we are seeing are retribution for a lack of integrity that has become an acceptable part of many societies. We know it is wrong to place adequate medical care out of the reach of some people. It is wrong to create a society based on laws that can't be understood by many people, laws that don't benefit those without the means to defend themselves. Everywhere we see the shocking results of unrestrained greed. More frightening, we respect the greediest among us. We are teaching our children that having wealth is more admirable than living simply with integrity. Schools have become intensely competitive as people vie for professions that will allow them to become relatively wealthy while accepting fees that intensify the financial troubles of those who can't afford their services. The medical profession is a prime example. Everywhere there are examples of the sorrows that greed creates. Houses burn with children in them because dwellers are unable to afford electrician services. Planes crash as a result of the high cost of maintaining them, leaving dismembered and burnt bodies scattered in their wake. A planet is dying because its most powerful inhabitants perceive its resources as perpetually exploitable, or maybe they don't care if they are not. How much do we really need? There was a wise old man who lived in the foothills of Western Oregon. He took a heartbroken young boy to heart and gave the boy a home and some advice. He said, strengthen your muscles to do the work you choose to do. Work for a roof over your head, enough for your family to eat and be happy. The boy knew of the old man's life, knew the suffering the man had witnessed in the Second Great War, and the boy learned while listening. The wise man left those he knew with knowledge worth more than the most expensive learning people buy today. It is a false belief that we need more than the kind of love the old man offered the boy and the lessons he taught. The positive influence this man gave is like a fruit that is ripe to nourish cultures. We are seeing some very positive interaction between the people who share this world. People are coming together to reduce, someday eliminate, the risk of war. People are paying closer attention to the global environment, and the world is slowly moving toward ultimate goals, peace and harmony. The world is real. Our individual significance is often questioned, while the significance of those we allow to be forerunners is seldom questioned. The truth that should be self-evident is that we are all important. The promise of the future holds is a promise that we make and will be kept or broken by us. We can transcend what is wrong here and create a world that fulfills the hope of ourselves and the generations who will follow us. Look, listen, perceive, learn, and act. And that was The World is Real by Augustus. Hermann Hesse wrote a story entitled Augustus, which was published in Strange News from Another Star. For personal reasons, the author of this article wishes to be known as Augustus. And now, Lost Generation by Kelly Hoffman. Kurt Cobain committed suicide. River Phoenix died of a drug overdose. Magic Johnson had AIDS, and Michael Jordan quit. The president is constantly ridiculed by the media and his opponents. The heroes for my generation are being torn down and destroyed by today's society. Who do we have to believe in? We are told that our generation will be the first generation of Americans to be worse off than their parents. Every year, jobs are harder to find. The economy is weak and it will probably collapse when our generation comes to power. What do we have to look forward to? Criminals roam the streets and more murders are announced every night on the evening news. Even when a very young age, girls are told never to go out alone. When I was 13, all the girls in my class attended a mandatory self-defense course instead of PE. When I was 14, a man took 50 students hostage at a high school only 30 miles from my school in California. 5 students and 1 teacher were killed. Many members of my generation aren't even safe in their own homes because of child abuse and domestic violence. Where can we go to be safe? The environment, once a hot topic of national concern, has faded in the minds of many politicians, but the planet is still being destroyed. Fresh water, forests, and countless species are becoming scarce. Our resources and energy are being consumed at lightning speed and could be wiped out completely in the next century. Even though the environment is in bad shape now, it is getting worse every day and no one seems to be stopping it. What condition will the planet be in 50 years from now? Everyone knows someone addicted to drugs. Everyone knows someone with AIDS. Everyone knows someone who committed suicide and someone else who was killed by a drunk driver. Everyone knows several students who are pregnant and several more who have dropped out of school. The problems that once seemed so distant and strange are now affecting our community, our schools, and our friends. My generation sees these problems and lives in these conditions every day. What do we have to hope for? My generation is the future, but we do not control the future. Those in power today need to realize that their children and grandchildren will be the ones to suffer if they do not start working on the problems now. The problems may seem too large to handle, but unless we start working on them today, they will only get larger. But it seems that the politicians of today have forgotten that there is a future. They are often too concerned with re-election today and popularity today. Did the Congress that failed to pass a health care bill think about the future when they voted? Is the Republican vow that reduced environmental restrictions intended to improve the conditions of the country for future generations? Those in power today seem to have forgotten the responsibilities of leadership and that everything they do today will affect everyone tomorrow. My generation does not have a big voice in American government. Our concerns are rarely heard by those in power. We have little voting power and less lobbying power. We need the older generations to speak for us and to let our concerns be known so that hopefully tomorrow will be an important concern to the leaders of today. We need our leaders to work together to improve the future. True leaders look to the future and they have a driving vision that goes beyond political parties and re-elections. Our leaders need to lead the country to a better future. The problems are large and the solutions are difficult, but if we do not begin work today, the problems will be insurmountable. But we can fix the problems our country faces if those who care about the future unite and start working together to improve the country and allow my generation to see a better world tomorrow. And that was Lost Generation by Kelly Hoffman, who was a senior at high school, a senior at Astoria High School, when she wrote this article. And the three theses that I have just read after my Novo Anno soliloquy all appeared in the North Coast Times Eagle. The Future's Foundations by Robin Towers was in the January-February issue of 1987. The World is Real by Augustus was in the August 1989 issue. And Lost Generation by Kelly Hoffman was in the January-February issue of 1995. And now, Manifest Resolution. And I wrote this. Today, January 3rd, 2019, the leftist liberal resistance takes control of the People's House of Congress to wreak havoc over a disgustingly corrupt and incompetent government and possibly dethrone a venomous, narcissist-pervading gargoyle, poisoning American democracy for his own preposterous claim of personal pharaoh-like sovereignty. This newly inaugurated 116th Congress since the American Revolution empowers a majority of newly elected neo-revolutionaries, many of whom are women who most definitely know the meaning and necessity of universal equality, who are eager to reestablish a Declaration of Independence that this time will include everyone left out the last time. So in honor of this resurgence of true people's populism, and in recognition that only a united and determined citizenry will break through the existing roadblock of tyranny and corruption, a third time repeat of resolutions compiled at the advent of Donald Trump's misogynist presidency, and which might form a sort of manifesto to be used as a warrant for his impeachment. This set of New Year's resolutions might stiffen citizen resolve. First on the list might be a resolution to re-educate yourself and critically examine the fundamentals and history of human rights. Resolve to refuse fables of racial and national supremacy might be the next resolution. Resolve to stand firm against a despotic attempt to reinstate a neo-despotic patriarchy. Resolve to refute current notions that the opposition does not have the right to exist. Resolve to assist holding together a society threatened with dissolving into disorder and inequality by Yankee Doodle apartheid. Resolve that if chaos and disorder devolve upon society by bigoted cleansing campaigns, to retain democracy in the home and in the neighborhood and community. Resolve to not allow and to personally intercede when the essentials of democratic life are threatened. Remember, we have the absolute right to defend our rights. Resolve to understand implicitly that a majority begins with one and flows outward. Resolve to resist one party and or one religion rule in this overwhelmingly multicultural nation, which would destroy democracy more surely than the cancer of onerous economic inequality. Resolve to return the term populist to its rightful definition of the people, which has been tarnished and soiled by right-wing absolutists who wish to eradicate government by the people, and simultaneously resolve to remove the elitist stigma of the term progressive. Resolve to defeat tyranny masked within democracy. Resolve to bear witness to local oppression. Resolve to not be bullied by even the most dangerous and spiteful. Resolve to personally stick up for the rights and persons of those prejudiced against. Resolve to resist the so-called security state that protects the ruling class by suppressing the rights of the people. Resolve to resist a registry of Muslims or any other religion, race, minority, or opposition. Resolve to show up at protests against the hijacking of democratic government. Write letters, send emails, tweet, and speak out whenever and wherever necessary. Resolve to donate and participate in progressive causes. Work in campaigns for local, state, and national progressive candidates. Resolve to keep your head and convictions when others might temporize their own. Resolve to not be pushed around by bullies who think they have a mandate to sow and reap fear. Resolve to refute petty demagogues who will try to shout you down. Resolve to resist or shake off complacency. This is no time for it. Resolve to organize against the anti-democratic purge of not only the external forms of democracy, but also the explicit deterioration of its substance. Resolve to resist the resurgence of the nuclear arms race. We are past that insanity. Resolve to resist government and corporate oppression at work. Revive unions. Resolve to resist government control of information and suppression of a free press or any other form of speech, thought, or media. Never forget that the First Amendment is the real guardian of all the other rights and liberties guaranteed by constitutional government. Resolve to resist privatization of education. Public education preserves democracy. Resolve to resist denial of women's rights and equality. Male superiority is a sick joke. Resolve to fight for women's reproductive rights and resist attempts to abolish Roe versus Wade. Half the human race subjugating the reproductive half is ridiculously counterproductive. Resolve to resist racial, sexual, and ethnic slurs and attacks against anybody. Resolve to not remain silent when someone spouts racist, sexual, or ethnic remarks. Resolve to resist attempts to abolish environmental standards and fight to increase them for the health and preservation of our descendants and the world they will inhabit. Resolve to resist climate change denial and those who speciously espouse that denial. Resolve to ardently support affordable and competent health care for everybody. Resolve to support gun control and restraints upon those who may possess firearms, especially open carry laws and posse comitatus-style militia armament. Resolve to demand restraints upon upper-class wealth accumulation. Resolve to insist on limits of corporate influence over laws and politics. Resolve to uphold fair laws and resist unjust and prejudicial laws. resolved to support campaigns for Donald Trump's impeachment, resolved to hold Trump statutorily accountable for all of the lies he told in his campaign and since the election, and most obviously and most infamously continues as president. Resolve, in addition, to demand investigation of Russian connivance in the presidential election on behalf of Trump as the Siberian candidate. In addition, in the name of fairness, discourage covert American interference in elections around the world. Resolve to passionately keep the promise of Abraham Lincoln at Gettysburg that we are a sovereignty of the people, by the people, and for the people. Resolve that this is not the time to quail or cavil. Futures of descendants and possibly planet are at stake. Franklin Roosevelt said at his first inauguration in 1933 that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Do not be afraid of being afraid. We are living in an increasingly fearful and dangerous time. Resolve to utilize your very warranted fear as soldiers do in a war, to desperately fight for life and liberty as our revolutionary ancestors fought to create freedom down to the last generation. And now, the annual poet I received from Jim Dott, which is written by Jim Dott. December among the weeds. Slack tide, blueless sky, the river, polished muddy jade, reflects and softly laps at rows of dark pilings, dead trees driven deep into the bed below a century ago, the docks, the piers they held, their fillayers, canners, net menders, now long dismantled, forgotten, drowned. What remains in view, sculpted by decay, hosts clumps of grass, a sprig of willow, still clasping one tattered leaf of gold, two coots, six lesser scops, a lone merganser male glide between the black and barkless trunks, wakes easing into the ebb. Along the weedy bank, rain-glossed green of ivy, holly with its clotted crimson drops, nearly hidden among shriveled blackberries, rusted leaves still clinging to their tangled canes, a pale cluster of opening buds and full white blossoms. No killing frost yet, no bees to ferry the pollen, no berries that will ripen, no chance of fertile seed. Shall I assign these flowers, their empty ovaries, a human trait? Foolishness, defiance, take them as a sign to counter, dimming spirits, or simply stop among the weeds to marvel how, in the darkest week of December, something blooms. And that was December Among the Weeds by Jim Dott. And he wrote that this past December 2018. And this is Michael McCusker. Happy New Year, and a happy childhood, however old you are.